Let's begin with a prayer. Father, thank you for bringing us together. We look forward to what you have for us today. We thank you for the discussions that we've had about your word and ask that you would bring to life the truth that we are studying in your word, that we can apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name. Well, we're in chapter 14 of Acts. I have broken this lesson into three divisions. The first is deceit in Iconium, verses 1 through 7. The second is deities in Lystra, verses 8 through 20. And the third is finishing the work, verses 21 through 23. He was small in size with meeting eyebrows and a rather large nose. He was bald-headed, bow-legged, and strongly built. He looked like a man, but was full of grace and sometimes had the face of an angel. That is how one eyewitness described Paul and what one historian wrote. Paul described himself as a jar of clay, having the treasure of God's word and power from God. In this week's lesson, we will learn that being a witness for Jesus means drawing attention to the good news of God's grace, the treasure, rather than to ourself, the jar of clay. We will see that in this week's lesson that God does give power to speak the truth about Jesus despite opposition and threats that we may receive. Let's take a moment and review where we've been. In last week's lesson, we looked at the beginning of a missionary journey. We learned that Paul and Barnabas left their familiar surroundings to go to strange new places. And we saw that God gave them power to speak the truth despite opposition and threats. And then in this lesson, we looked at the rest of the journey. We learned that the opposition and threats really seemed to follow Paul and Barnabas as they traveled. They couldn't outdistance them. They were there. But we saw that God gave them courage to face danger and to finish his work. In our first division, we'll look at deceit in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas arrived in Iconium. Verse 1 says, "At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed." The phrase "as usual" means, I think, that they developed a habit by this time. Earlier in Acts 13:43, they told the Jews in Poseidon, Antioch, "We had to speak the word of God to you first." And now in Iconium, they went into the Jewish synagogue first. Later, Paul explained in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. But Paul also knew something that was practical. He knew that if he went to the Gentiles first, they would be considered unclean and could not go to the synagogue later. So I think for those two reasons, we find them developing this habit of going to the Jews first. Well, not everyone believed. Verse 2 says, "But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers." The phrase "refused to believe" means to disobey. In other words, the Jews who refused to believe by that act were disobeying God. Think about disobeying God for a moment. In Ephesians 5:6, Paul warned, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient." And then in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, he said, "When Jesus returns from heaven, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." Later in Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, Paul told the men of Athens that God commands all people everywhere to repent. "For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice." In other words, people who refuse to repent disobey God and will be judged because God is just. Paul and Barnabas persisted then with this message. Verse 3 says, "So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking for the Lord." Paul and Barnabas knew that the Gentiles were being stirred up. Their response? They spent considerable time. People's minds were being poisoned, so Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly. Bold lies were met with bold truth. And people were given a choice. The Holy Spirit then confirmed the truth. In verse 3 it says, "The Lord confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders." The phrase, "the message of his grace," means the good news that Jews and Gentiles can all be restored to God through Jesus. And the phrase, "signs and wonders," is like saying, "I am God and I approve this message." As Paul and Barnabas spoke, God's Spirit confirmed their words. People's minds were being poisoned by lies, but God's Spirit was active and alive, confirming the truth. In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness." And later, in 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul understood what this meant. He understood that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not us, not from ourselves. Paul knew he was a jar of clay and that his power was from God and not from him. And that gave him the courage to speak. The Iconium crowd was divided. Verse 4 says, "The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and others with the apostles." Paul and Barnabas boldly spoke the message of God's grace, and God confirmed that message with signs and wonders. Some believed, but others refused, and nothing more could be accomplished by them staying further. In verses 5 and 6 it says, "There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and the Jews together with their leaders to mistreat and stone them. But they found out about it and fled." Our first principle then is God's Spirit provides courage and ability to proclaim God's Word with clarity and power. God's Spirit provides courage and ability to proclaim God's Word with clarity and power. God's Spirit provides courage and ability to proclaim God's Word with clarity and power. Now, being Jesus' witness is dangerous. Speaking the truth can be hazardous to your health and really deserves a warning. Speaking the truth has been known to result in drastic changes. Some have reported the complete loss of familiar surroundings. Now, speaking the truth can also result in danger. Now, side effects can include lies and poisoning of minds and mistreatment. Being a witness for Jesus is not recommended for the uncommitted or the pretenders. Do you tell people about God's remedy for sin? Or are you afraid of the side effects? Do you leave familiar surroundings to share your faith, or do you leave it to other people to face the unknown? Do you tell people about the choices they need to make about Jesus? Or is fear fatal to your courage? Will you speak up and let other people hear the truth? In our second division, we look at deities in Lystra. Paul and Barnabas walked about 18 miles to Lystra. Lystra was off the beaten path, and the people were uneducated. There was no synagogue mentioned, but they did have a marketplace. Paul spoke in verse 8, it says, "In Lystra there sat a man crippled in his feet who was lame from birth and had never walked." A crowd is mentioned, but Paul focused on one person. The lame man heard Paul. Verse 9 says, "He listened to Paul as he was speaking." He had never walked, but he could listen. And verse 9 explained that Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. Later in Romans 10:17, Paul explained, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Paul boldly spoke the message of Christ, and Paul could see that the lame man really heard what was said. Paul commanded him to stand, and he obeyed. And the crowd reacted. The man stood to his feet, and the crowd shouted. The man who had not walked from birth was healed, and God's message of grace was confirmed. But the crowd was crippled by wrong thinking. And in verse 11, they shouted, "The gods have come down to us from heaven in human form." The crowd believed a local legend that Zeus and Hermes had once visited their city, but they were not recognized by anyone except for an old couple, and the town was destroyed. The crowd was not willing to let this happen again. Well, wrong thinking then led to wrong actions. Verse 13 says, "The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bowls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them." The priest and the crowd saw God's messengers, but did not hear God's message. They wanted to worship what was seen, but not what was unseen. What was temporary, but not what was eternal. Paul later explained right thinking this way in 2 Corinthians 4:18. "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Isn't it human of us to always fix our eyes on what is seen and react to it? Well, Paul and Barnabas confirmed the truth. They rushed into the crowd. Have you ever rushed into a crowd to confirm the truth? Verse 15 says that they shouted, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them." Wrong thinking led to spiritual blindness. It matters what you think. Wrong thinking led to spiritual blindness. Verse 19 says, "Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. The people could not fit God's message of grace into their way of thinking and were willing to listen to deception and willing to listen to distortion of God's word. They wanted to listen to those things because of their way of thinking. Soon they wanted to do away with God's word altogether and with his messengers." That's where wrong thinking will lead you. Well, the crowd acted. Verse 19 says, "They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead." They were wrong again. Paul later explained it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:11, "For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body." Earlier, the crowd wanted to worship Paul as a god, But soon they wanted to execute him. Earlier in Jerusalem, people wanted to worship Jesus as the Messiah, but soon called for his execution. Wrong thinking is so fickle, isn't it? It changes with the wind. Think about wrong thinking. The lame man heard God's word and had faith to believe God's grace. Now he applied what he heard and he stood to his feet. The crowd heard the same words and saw the same miracle. But they heard what they wanted and confirmed their own beliefs and refused the message of God's grace. In other words, they used God's word to validate their own beliefs and not the good news that God wanted them to know. Their wrong thinking overrid the good news. Our second principle then is people can choose to worship God or an image of their own making. People can choose to worship God or an image of their own making. People can choose to worship God or an image of their own making. Sometimes you don't have a choice. You don't choose your gender or your siblings. You don't choose your race or place of birth, your height, or the size of your nose. You know, life may not always give you a vote or a voice, but eternity does. You didn't choose to be born, but you can choose to be born again. You didn't choose your family, but you can choose the family of God and your eternal home. Do you choose to know God or an image of your own making? Be careful. Are there some things about the way that you think of God that are wrong? Do you change your mind to fit God's word or your own terms? Do you admit your wrong choices or refuse to change your mind? Your values, your friends. Will you admit your mistakes? And will you make a good choice for eternity and then tell others? If you were wrong, would you want to know it so that you can make a good choice? The choice is yours. In our third division, we'll look at finishing the work. Paul and Barnabas walked to Derbe. Verse 20 says, the next day he and Barnabas left Derbe. Well, the next day means the day after being stoned. The phrase the next day shows that the stoning did not stop Paul or even slow him down. The 40-mile walk must have been painful. But Paul was unwilling to lose even a day, and he knew the power of God's Spirit. Later in Philippians 4:13, he explained, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And he did. During that 40-mile walk, he was able to do that in God's strength, I suspect. God gave Paul strength because Paul committed himself to God's purposes. The people in Lystra thought he was dead, but Paul and Barnabas were just getting started. Verse 21 says, they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. But God's work was not finished. Verse 21 says, then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And verse 25 says, they also preached the word in Perga. In other words, they revisited each of these cities a second time and even went to a city they missed the first time because they were unwilling to leave anything undone. Are you willing to leave something undone? Will you go back to people? And will you make sure that you go to people who you might have missed the first time like they did? But what did they do? They spoke to new believers again. They strengthened them. And they encouraged them to remain true in the faith. I hope that's what our relationships are like. They also spoke about hardships. And I hope that's true of us as well, that we will be willing to tell new believers that there are hardships. In verse 22, they said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Now, later, Paul told Timothy about the hardships that he went through. He said in 2 Timothy 3:12, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. And that's the way the story is concluded. The Lord rescued me from all of them. Think about the big picture. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. It wasn't the other way around. Then in Acts 13:2, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I have called them. So he's supplying the power and he's supplying the direction. They were Jesus' witnesses for over 2 years and traveled 1,500 miles. Think about that. Finally, in Acts 14:27, they reported all that God had done through them and how He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So our third principle is that doing God's work develops spiritual maturity and opens the door of faith for other people. Doing God's work develops spiritual maturity and opens the door of faith for other people. Doing God's work develops spiritual maturity and opens the door of faith for other people. The message is to be remembered, not the messenger. You know, short or tall, big or small, hairy or bald, you know, muscular or scrawny, we don't remember what Paul was or care. But we do remember his message. Now, the messenger becomes less and less, and the message becomes greater and greater. It's not about the messenger. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't let your thoughts about the messenger, yourself, inhibit you from telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ and hope that in the future they will forget you, if they do, but that they will remember the message. Do you see yourself as a messenger, or are you the message? Are you unwilling to lose even a day, or unwilling to even set one aside? Do you rely on your own strength or on God's? Will you show up, or do you just hope others will? Will you speak up and be Jesus' witness? And when you do, will you speak about Jesus and not yourself? God revealed himself and came into the world. God revealed himself and Jesus made him known. God wants you to be his witness and will give you his treasure, his power, and his purpose. God revealed himself. Will you make him known? Father, we thank you for the marvelous example that Paul and Barnabas give to us. We thank you for the example of people in this room who have been like Paul, who courageously speak your truth, and like Barnabas, who have been such encouragers. Lord, we do need to get our eyes off of ourselves and off of the dangers and the distractions and back onto the message so that we remember what is true and what is lasting. Give us your perspective and your power to do your work in Jesus' name. Amen.